Good morning, everyone. Yeah, so we're almost at the end of our series called Running. And if you've been with us for a while, the last few weeks, you would have met a man named Jonah that was, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. There's power in that. You can feel that opening statement. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, but Jonah ran away. And we saw Jonah running away and getting caught up in a storm, and we saw how God worked through that. And then last week, Amy really did a brilliant job unpacking what he went through, being tossed overboard, crying out to God, and sort of coming back to God. And an incredible story that I think Children's Church, for me growing up, did a very disservice to the story of Jonah, because if you asked me a few years ago, Jonah, what's the point? Well, God saves people and he can use fish. That was sort of my understanding, but there's so much more to the story. But just before I get into this morning's message, Amy did a brilliant job last week, but I do need to make one correction. It is quite important that as leaders we do bring correction when it is needed. And so, yes, Amy last week alluded to the most painful form of corporal punishment, the lady's slipper. As a young man growing up in the colored community, we have to go there. Here's the thing, the slipper in the colored community is not a weapon of, like, as in pain. It's a surprise attack. You'll still be mouthing off, thinking you like the main O in the house, like, oh, mom, and then you walk, it's like, next thing is, and you look around and she's walking away, it's like she whacked you with a slipper, and it's a surprise attack. The most, and I'm sure there's some men here especially that will agree with me. Can you put the next picture up? There we go. That is an apricot tree that may look luscious and green, but I can tell you, in the hands of a skilled father, that becomes a emotional damage. Because what happens is, you'll do something, it's not that hectic. You burn half the neighbor's garden or down, it's not that bad. And then your dad comes in and he goes, go to the tree and go pick your own cane. What type of psychological torture was that? You need to go, because you can't take one that will break, because then it's going to be worse. You can't get something that's going to kill you, so you need to go. And sometimes if my cousin stayed with us for a while, we'd have to test on each other to see which one. I'm just saying, we need to bring correction every now and then. So, Amy, thank you very much. Brilliant last week, but yes. Okay. But let's continue. Let's get into Jonah's story, because Jonah's story is not about the God that sends you into a garden to go fetch a cane so he can whip you. It's about a God, and we'll see that today. It's about a God that has the power to change. And does change, but he also has the compassion to go with that power. So it's not all power and boom, people change. No, he works everything for his own good, everything for his own glory. That is what the story of Jonah is about. Because the third chapter in that story, which we're going to be looking at, is something that you quite often, you just read through. You read the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and then it's like he ran away to Nineveh, and you're like, oh, Jonah, you should have listened. And then you get to the storm, it's like, you see God bring the storm, and it's like, oh, well done, Jonah. And you think the story ends there. Because it says at the end, it says, the fish spat him out, and off he went. But that's just the setup to the story. This is where it starts getting meat. And this is where, when you read the Bible, and it's almost like a narrative. This is just like a narrative going through. That's when you need to pay attention, because that's when the action happened. That's when something happened in the lives of someone. There was a change, and now they're outworking it. Are you with me? Okay, excellent. So let's continue. I love the way chapter 3 starts. Takes you right back to the beginning. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And I say it like that because if God's word comes and then it comes the second time, then you'd be like, well, okay, maybe I should listen here. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message that I will tell you. Here's the thing. When we read those, the first time those words, it sounded so great. Arise, go, my son. But there was another word that followed that. Do you all remember that word? We spoke right. Yes, but Jonah. And so often we get this word of God. We get this revelation. We sing songs like this morning. We sing and we gratitude. We're grateful. We're like, yes, Lord, thank you. And then the word comes, will you go pray with that one? You, but Jesus, you know what? I'm not eloquent. We bring in the but and we stop. Not so, chapter 3. Chapter 3, Jonah has gone through some things. He's realized some things. And so when the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, it says, so Jonah arise. He went from a but to a so. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He got up and he went. So, Jonah, did you have a so moment in this week? I have to ask. The word God is speaking all the time. I was this morning, it was a bit of an awkward moment when the band started, the mics were muted, and Emmy was singing, and then the words came. Sometimes it's like that for us. I felt that was like a prophetic picture for all of us. God is speaking, but we don't have our connections. We're so busy doing everything, we're not hearing. It's like. But when we switch that thing, all of a sudden God's word is like, whoa, God. So sometimes we need to just settle down so that we can hear God, because we all can hear God for ourselves. Just like Jonah, he heard God. He went up according to what God said. He had a so moment, a moment where he heard and he acted. No delay. He heard and he acted. On Thursday night, most of you will know, we get together and we pray at the new venue. Maverick was there. He got a picture from God, and he didn't keep it there like, oh, I don't know if I should say this. There was no but there, so Mav came and shared with the MC. Last week, and for the last few weeks, I think, there's been someone, one of the MCs will stand up here and he'll say, is there a response? Will you put your hand up? And there's been quite a few, so yes, I heard God and I'll put my hand up. There's so moments. When we have those so moments, that's when God can come in. That's when he can make the change. The butt moment will keep you in the chair, on your butt. The so moment will kick you out your chair, and it will get you into the big cities. It will get you to the Ninevehs. It will get you into the places that you are really uncomfortable, and you think, why did I not sit down? But at the end of that, God will be glorified, and you will be set free. You do not understand how many chains will fall off you, all those shackles holding you back, when you just get up and you take a step. All it takes, one step. When we respond to what God is doing, when we respond to his word, whew, cities change. You. Let's continue. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Yeah, that's quite a long walk. Jonah began to go into the city, going in a day's journey. So about halfway he goes into the city and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. So finally, Jonah gets to Nineveh. Lots of stuff happened, but he gets to Nineveh and he delivers this powerful message. 8 words. In 40 days, you will all die. That's it. I think some commentaries will say it was probably a bit longer. We don't know what he actually, this is just what Jonah recorded. 8 words. All of that 8 words. I don't know. I think I would have made it a little bit longer at least after this long journey. And by the way, the fish didn't spit him out in Nineveh. It was a few. He still had to travel quite a distance to get there. So he's like dusty, and at least make it worth it. Yeah, it's like in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. There's no if you do this, if you do this, if you repent, then there's nothing. His only message was in 40 days, that's it. How's that for a message? How would you respond to that message? We spoke about having a heart of gratitude this morning. Yes, we sang songs about gratitude. How grateful would you be if someone walked in this morning and went, listen, Port Elizabeth will be destroyed in 40 days. I don't know if there'll be much gratefulness. Doom and gloom. No, unless you repent. Just in 40 days. So you get what's going on in the story. And it says that the people believed God. It's not they believed what Jonah was saying. They believed God. So they heard something. They heard the word of God. Now notice the difference. When the word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time, what happened? But Jonah. When the word of the Lord through Jonah came to Nineveh, what had happened? And the people believed God. There's action. And they called for a fast. This is the people, they're hearing him and they're saying, let's fast, let's stop what we're doing, let's put on sackcloth. Because this is not good news. From the greatest to the least of them, everybody, the whole city, not 5%, 10%, the whole city. You thought your grapevine was fast. This was lightning fast. They went. They heard the word of God and they responded immediately. It's just, but it doesn't stop there. From verse 6, it continues, the word reached the king of Nineveh. How's that? He walks half a day into the city. It spreads. The king hears about this. And he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Even the king didn't put a but on the hearing the word of God. So the king declared, for the king to take off his robes, put on sackcloth, the word of God must have had such an impact on him. We don't know if he heard actually Jonah or was it just like through messengers that he heard, but still, God's word cut to the bone. And this is the last verse in that chapter, and I want us to really hear what it says here. It sounds just like conversational. Listen to this. When God saw what they did, how they turned from the evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Just that sentence tells me so much about God. This chapter, just this third chapter, there's so much into it. Yes, it's about Jonah giving 8 words. It's about people changing, but it tells me so much about who God is. It reveals 2 things for me. Just, there's a lot more. I'm just going to pick on 2 of them. It reveals God's power. It reveals God's compassion. Because the people of Nineveh were not good people. If you look through the history of Nineveh, I think it was the Assyrian people, they were vicious. They were violent. They served all kinds of God, child sacrifices. They would burn children. Everything was going on there. Sexual immorality. It was not a good place. Those were the people that Jonah was sent to. And that's why initially he didn't want to go, because he knew them. They've been at war with them. They kidnapped their people. They would take their nobles and go and put them in different places so that the nation of Israel could not raise leaders. It was the way of them subduing people. They would find people over the countries that they conquered. They would take, let's say you're a carpenter and you're really skilled. They would take you and go put you somewhere where it would boost their economy. The Israelites were being ripped off out of their lands and taken anywhere and everywhere. And these were the people that God was saying, Jonah, go and take my message. Funny enough, these are the people that when they heard the word of God, immediately responded. And when we read Israel's history, how's that? So let's look at God's great power. We all know God is all-powerful. It's sort of you learn it since primary school, in Sunday school. You learn all of these things. But what does that mean? I mean, God's great power? Well, if we look at Jonah's story, imagine an Israelite going to the capital of their enemies. So he's the enemy. He walks into their main city. These people, they've been kidnapping them and killing them for quite some time. He walks into their city and says, in 40 days, you will die. Most people I know will go, you have been smoking something, and yes. Yet, in this instance, God's power was with him. The power of God's word was with Jonah. So he could walk into a hostile environment like that, into the middle of the city, make a statement, in 40 days this will all be destroyed, and people, instead of looking at him, they believe God and they turn to him. How is that for the power of God? Do you think this God that did that cannot break into your life today? Question. Do you think that the Lord and the God that took Jonah into a city that was completely hostile, gave him a hostile message, and he was not harmed at all? Do you think that God can break into your life today? Let the word of God come into your life this morning. Let the power of the word of God, which speaks about his love, his compassion for you, let that come into your heart right now, and he can make the change. He can do the breakthrough that you've been wanting for or waiting for. Jonah did not come in there with like a great, you know, those big tents. It's like a crusade. You go in with the tent, you put up the stage. He didn't rock up with his spinning chariot and pulled up with someone driving him with a nice white jacket, because sometimes that's also when we're on stage, you think you need to have the white jacket, walk on, someone takes your jacket off. If you get passionate, they wipe your eyebrow. You don't even drink your own water, you sort of sip. Jonah went just on God's word. He brought a message that God gave him. He didn't add to it, didn't take away it. God said, go and do. He did. And God's power was there to change the hearts of people. Like God's power is here to change us as well. And it was just not just a few people. It was everybody, the whole city. Can you imagine? 8 words brings a whole city to its knees. That is the power of God at work. When was the last time you felt a message really speak to you? Where you're like, you know what? It almost feels like you're speaking to me. Yeah, that sometimes it's God's word wanting to do something. How often did you respond after that? Or did you go, oh, that was so good. Yes, God spoke this morning. What are we having for dinner? Yeah. We can't let God's word just sit and disappear. You need to grab a hold of it. What, God, what are you saying? When you feel that, it feels like he's spoken to me. Your immediate response, God, what are you saying to me right now? What's the response here? Because when we start getting that, God's word starts getting activated. It's like the parable that Jesus told. The word of God is like a sower. He sows the seed and it falls on different grounds. Yes, we all know that because, see, it's Sunday school. And then there's the ones that fall on the good soil. That's the soil you've cultivated. Well, the Holy Spirit actually have been cultivating it. And when that word comes and you start feeling that, you know what, that's really good. And you ask God, you engage with God. God, what are you saying here? That's when that root can penetrate the soil. And when you ask God, what's the action? What's the reaction here, Lord? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to go and pray with someone? Do you want me to have someone pray for me? And you take that step. That's when the water comes in. The Holy Spirit comes in. And it nourishes that root. That word starts taking root. And I promise you, when the word of God takes root in your heart, no one can rip it out. When you water that word, when it reaches down, nothing can remove that word. Yes. We need to change our but Jonah moments into so Jonah moments. Here's my opinion on this thing. It's very easy to call a friend and say, hi, how are you doing? It's very easy to rock up early on a Sunday and pack our chairs. Because you do that, yeah? It's easy to come and do that. It's easy to be on a serving team. It's easy to be here at 5 o'clock in the morning and only leave 3 o'clock and get home. I am bushed. Church is hectic. It's easy to do that because it's just something that you do. Do you know what's really hard? While you're sweeping, someone walks over the area that you just cleaned because there's visitors are coming to church. They walk over and you look at them and it's like, huh? The hard part is seeing the person and hearing God saying in that moment, did you see they're not smiling? That's the hard part. And the harder part is to go, stop what you're doing. Yeah, let go. Because now there's going to be a spot that's not swept up. So when a visitor comes in, they're going to see that spot. It's hard to let that go and to go stand with that person and say, how are you doing? But really, how are you doing? That's the hard thing. That's the hard part. And I think that's the lesson for us. Connected life, going into the season. Because we're moving buildings. And when we move, it's easy to get busy. It's easy to get caught up in putting all the stuff. Those things are important. Don't get me wrong. The stairs are important so that the kids can get up to up down and they don't fall off. We all want safe kids. It's important to have a stage so the band can sing and worship and that we have projectors so you can follow along and sing. These things are all important, but it's not more important than the person sitting next to you or the person that's going to come through the door. So as we get busier, let's not get the busyness stop ministry. Ministry is when you're having a coffee with someone, or not even a coffee. Someone walks in the door. You're busy packing chairs, and they're going a bit skew, but it's okay. Leave and go say hello, because that's a person. That person may just need a smile from you in that particular moment, and it'll change their day. Let the word of God not just be a preach. Let the word of God coming into your life be a lifestyle. Let it be a continuously hearing. Lord, what are you saying in this moment? I saw someone. Go and chat with him. Okay, Lord, I'm going. So I arise. So I go. So I engage. And watch what God does. Watch what he does. I believe that connected life has the keys to a lot of hearts in the city. I believe that connected life, as we hear the word of God and we respond to it, people are going to walk through the doors that we've never expected to see. People are going to be on their knees worshiping God. They're going to be broken down. It'll be tears, but it'll be breakthroughs. And it'll be moments where God can work and change. That's what we're standing on. That's the picture we have ahead of us. Can I just say this before I move on? Just want to very briefly, we're talking about the power of God and going from a but person to a so person. Gentlemen, take responsibility. We need to, especially for connected life going forward, we need to take responsibility for who we are. Take responsibility for our actions. Some of you are married. Some of us are married. We need to lead our families. The easy thing is to provide. Work, go home. Work, go home. That's the easy thing. The difficult thing is to lead your family, what God asked you to do, to lead your family into his ways. Because it means spending time with God. You and God hearing, two of you. Lead your families, young men. If you're not married, start by leading yourselves. Spend time with God now. Get him to lead you now. Because when you get married, it will be second nature. Some of us, me included, had to learn that after we got married. That's so much more difficult. And I still get it wrong. Lead, men. Come on. Connected life. Ladies, stop running away from your strength. No, just bear with me here. Ladies will often say, I am a strong woman. I am a strong-willed woman. That does not make you a strong person. It's words. And sometimes a little bit of arrogance. Strength is not overpowering people. Do you know what the true strength for me? For me, the true strength of a woman is when we read the book of Esther. A young lady walks to the king. She stands at the door. And when those doors open, if the king does not acknowledge her, she gets executed. Like as in, if she the doors open, he does nothing, guards come, they drag her off, and they kill her, whatever the execution thing was then. Esther heard the word of the God of God to save her people. She went and she stood there. She did not say a word. She stood there, the doors open, and the king was overwhelmed to see her. Ladies, that is your strength. You don't need to kick doors down. You just need to stand on the word of God, and things will change. You don't need to fight. Be who God made you to be. Are you all good with that? That's how we're going to change lives. When God saw what they did, the people of Nineveh, how they turned from the evil way, God relented from the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. He did not do it. God's power brought a massive repentance in a city, changed the city. But with God's power is his compassion. Because he could have. Those were evil people. He could have destroyed that city in an instant. And everyone would have been, that was God's justice. And yet he had compassion on all of those people. And this is why this is so important for me when I read the story. Because God's compassion, we sort of think it's for evil people. But in God's economy, what is evil? Jesus said, if you get angry, you have murdered someone. In God's economy, us walking away from him is evil. Yeah. This is the reality of it, the situation that we are in. But yet God's compassion is for all of us. It's for all those people, and it's so for us as well. Today, you don't need to run away from God because he's compassionate. You don't need to worry about your past because, like the Ninevites, God has compassion. His love for you is above that. Your actions will not determine your future. Your past does not determine the road forward for you. Why? Because there's someone else that God sent, that the Word became flesh. The Word of God that prompted Jonah, that Word became flesh. And that was Jesus, and he was not spared like Jonah was. That Word that became flesh, Jesus, died for us so that we have a way back. So that when the Word of God comes to us and it changes us, we can go to him. That Word, that power of the Word of God can come and it can change our hearts and we can turn back to him. And that's God's compassion. In his love, in his grace, in his mercy, he sent someone to come and take the punishment for us. I think God's compassion is, if you think of through your life, it's evident everywhere, isn't it? We have a value as a group of believers. Find people. It's because when we realize just how lost we are, how lost we were, and Jesus found us. Remember the parable of the sheep? 100 sheep, one goes missing. The 99 gets lost, and the shepherd goes and he finds that one, brings it back, and there's a huge party. That was us. We were in the wilderness alone, lost, spiritually speaking. And Jesus came and he found us and he brought us back. So when you have that reality of being lost, I was lost once when I was small. We were out of town and I got separated from my parents, but eventually we got together. I did not leave my mother's side for quite some time. I was like, where are you going? It's with us the whole time. When Jesus finds us, shouldn't that be our response? Jesus, where are you going? I'm going with. I don't want to be back in that darkness. And then when we realize that, it's like, hold on, Jesus, there's more people. We need to go and find them. There's more there because I've experienced being lost. Let's go find them. So we get this, because we've been found, we're like, there's more. Let's go find them. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm right here. You go there. You can see me. When you look back, you can see me. Go find that person and then come back. And you run and you look, like, there's Jesus. Okay, cool. You get your, and then you're like, here we go. Like, Jesus, I did that. It's like, yes, now go further. That's what happens when God's compassion gets a hold of us. We get changed. We realize that we've been found and we go and find people. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes we do get a bit carried away. For example, a very good friend of mine realized that he was found. And he decided he was in the police force. So he walked into his commanding officer's kantoor and he says, you're not treating your wife like you should. It didn't go too well. Sometimes we just need to breathe on it because it's good to have that passion. Yes, just let God's wisdom go with the passion. Yes. Here's an example. Carols are coming up. Yeah? Yes. So we all have a Nineveh in our lives, I believe, a people that God sent us to go and chat with. And it's Ninevites, which means they're horrible people. Nasty, like that boss of yours. You know your boss. Or that colleague or the neighbor that throws the stuff over the wall. Yes, that person is the person that you may need to go to. But here's the thing, you don't need to make a big boo-ha about it. There's an e-invite for our carols. That's electronic. You go forward and tap the hamburger button. Yes, forward. And you send it to that person with a note. Don't just send the image. Hey, it's me, your neighbor, on the left side. Our church is doing this thing. It's going to be brilliant. There's going to be fancy gingerbread lattes, frappes, sorry, not lattes, frappes, because it's got cream on. Come through. It's going to be brilliant. And then they'll go, oh, okay. Easy. No pressure. Yeah? Reach the Ninevites. Let's turn our butt moments into our soul moments. Yeah? That person, by the way, that you thought of now, that's the one. As soon as we finish, you're going to send the thing to. Yeah? Can we grab a coffee? Jesus did not hold back when he came to save us. It says, or Paul writes, he says, it was with joy that Jesus went to the cross for us. Can you imagine that? With joy going through that pain. Why? Because he knew what was at the end of it. When you know what's at the end of getting out your chair, reacting, so Lord, what is your word saying, and acting, when you know what's on the other side of that, that becomes a joy. You can't wait for those moments. These moments for me have actually become joy because I get to share what God has placed in my heart. I pray that that would be you, all of us, hearing God's word and reacting. Thank you.